I'll go by any name. Good evening. I would like to welcome everyone in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I don't say that lightly after listening to Marvin's sermon last week. Sorry I missed your sermon this morning. I meant to catch it online, but it was either not streaming or my phone didn't get it. But I sat down and I was studying today, and I've had this topic on my mind for quite a while. I thought it was going to get changed in about a two-minute dream I had one night, but as I went for that topic, nothing was coming together. So I went back to the other one. Things started falling into place. I'm going to talk about probably one of the basics. Now, with any of our Christianness is forgiveness. And I hope that wasn't on my mind because I need forgiven of a whole lot of things, but I need forgiving daily, actually, for my thoughts sometimes, for things that come out of my mouth in frustration. And just because I'm human in the flesh at times. I don't walk in the Spirit like I should day in and day out. I don't like to admit it, but I don't. So maybe that's why the topic came to my mind. But anyway, I was looking out of here, and it looks like most everybody that I can see has probably been baptized. So I'm going to start in Book of Mormon, page 162. Probably going to be 2 Nephi, the 13th chapter. Second Nephi 13, I'm only going to read a couple of verses. I'm going to start with verse 24. And he's talking about baptism and repenting and being baptized in the beloved Son's name, name of Jesus Christ. And in verse 24 it says, "For the gate by which ye should enter is repentance and baptism by water, and then cometh the remission of your sins by fire and by the Holy Ghost. And then are ye in this straight and narrow path, which leads to eternal life. Yea, ye have entered in by the gate. Ye have done according to the commandments of the Father and the Son. And ye have received the Holy Ghost, which witnesses of the Father and the Son, unto the fulfilling of the promise which he hath made, that if ye entered in by the way, ye should receive." So if we went down into the waters of baptism and without any deceit towards God, then we have received remission of our sins. We've been forgiven. And at that time, at least in my experience, I was the cleanest I've ever been in my life as far as my soul. I had a smile from ear to ear. I can remember, I don't know how many times I've told this, but I felt so clean. I looked in the mirror, and my face was breaking with a smile, and tears were just streaming down my face. And it felt so good because I was forgiven, and I was pure, and I was clean at that point. You've been there. And it's the best feeling that you can ever feel. And isn't that why Jesus came to earth? Was so that through him, we could have that forgiveness, that we have that hope of eternal life with him in heaven? Isn't that why he came? To teach us how to be better? To guide and direct us in the way we should lead our lives? But when I look at what he did, what he came for, and what he bought me for, was for forgiveness. Because if he hadn't done what he'd done, died on the cross, been resurrected, I wouldn't have a hope. I wouldn't have any reason to be forgiven that I know of. But he came for me. He came for each and every one of us. And that's what baptism is for remission of sins, for our forgiveness. Even in Luke, the 23rd chapter, verse 34, I'm just going to paraphrase it here, because this, when Jesus was being crucified, after they had basically kind of lied about him, and they had gotten him to the point to where they had whipped him and scourged him and spit on him and mocked at him. And he was getting ready to be crucified. And what did he do? He asked, he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." The ultimate example of forgiveness. After everything they'd done to him, which I can't even imagine what it must be like. After all that, he asked God to forgive him. So that is a great example to myself anyway. Because if he could do that, how much of a shortfall do I have if I don't forgive somebody that's done something that I feel like they hurt me? You know, if I don't forgive them, where am I at? Especially after what Christ went through and he asked them to be forgiven. I'm going to go to Colossians, the third chapter. Colossians 3, I've just got a couple of verses here also. Be 12 and 13. This is after Paul had been talking about putting off the old man and putting on the new man, becoming new in Christ Jesus. And in verse 12 it says, "Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye." You know, talking about having mercy and kindness and humbleness, meekness, and that long suffering that it may take to get in the right frame of mind that we think like Christ does when it comes to forgiveness. And that we forgive one another their trespasses against us, as Christ forgave each and every one of us. Because when I look at myself, like Paul asks us to, is to look inward, I don't have any room not to forgive somebody. Because I think of the things that I've done and the thoughts that I've had and the way I've treated people at times. I have no room not to forgive anybody. And that's what we should be doing, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. You know, even as Christ forgave us for the things that we have done. I'm going to go to Luke chapter 18. I'll start at verse 9. And he spake this parable, which is Jesus, unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee, the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, "God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in a week. I give tithes of all that I possess." And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his chest, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other, for everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. When I was reading this, it's like, I got this thought that came to me, and I hope it's not twisting the scriptures and anything, but I was thinking, am I like this publican is when it comes to forgiveness? Do I look at people and say, well, I'm better than they are? You know, do I think they deserve what they got? They don't deserve forgiveness for what they did. You know, do I look at people that have hurt me that way? I have. I can't forgive them. That's not a good thought. But I was looking at this and it's like, I know they were talking about prayer, but to me, it looks the same way to me. You know, do we act like we're better than others because we're the Church of Christ? Do we compare ourselves to others as far as things that they've done that need to be forgiven of? Or do we compare ourselves to Jesus Christ and what he did? And that's been said, I don't know how many times in here, over and over, but I still need to hear it all the time. Because in my flesh, I do that. I compare myself to somebody. You know? Well, I'm better than they are. No, I'm not. I'm not better than anybody else. So hopefully I never look at it that way, that I can stand there and I can say, thank you, Lord, that I'm better than you are. Well, I've got my reward, so I might as well give up. No. But we have a tendency to do that, do we not? And if you don't, boy, you've reached a higher level than I have at times. Because even though I know what it says, those thoughts still come into my head. And I need to be forgiven of those. Mormon. That'd be the 17th chapter of Alma. Alma here is talking to his son Helaman, and he recalls his conversion to his son back when he was running with those bad boys, Mosiah's sons, and they were running around trying to destroy the church and to convince people that they don't need to believe in God. It might be a little bit of a long reading, but I've got time. Alma 17, start at verse 5. Now behold, I say unto you, if I had not been born of God, I should have not known these things, but God hath by the mouth of his holy angel made these things known unto me, not of any worthiness of myself. For I went about with the sons of Mosiah seeking to destroy the church of God. But behold, God sent his angel to stop us by the way. And behold, he spake unto us as if it were the voice of thunder. And the whole earth did tremble beneath our feet, and we all fell to the earth, for the fear of the Lord came upon us. But behold, the voice said unto me, Arise, and I arose and stood up, and beheld the angel, and he said unto me, If thou wilt of thyself be destroyed, seek no more to destroy the church of God. I think that would wake me up. And it came to pass that I fell to the earth, and it was for the space of 3 days and 3 nights that I could not open my mouth. Neither had I the use of my limbs, And the angel spake more things unto me, which were heard by my brethren, but I did not hear them. For when the words, if thou wilt be destroyed of thyself, seek no more to destroy the church of God, I was struck with such great fear and amazement, lest perhaps I should be destroyed, that I fell to the earth and did not hear no more. But I was racked with eternal torment, for my soul was harrowed up to the greatest degree and racked with all my sins. Yea, I did remember all my sins and iniquities for which I was tormented with the pains of hell. And I saw that I had rebelled against my God and that I had not kept his holy commandments. Yea, and I had murdered many of his brethren, or rather led them away into destruction. Yea, and in fine, so great had been my iniquities that the very thoughts of coming into the presence of my God did rack my soul with inexpressible horror. Thank you. Oh, thought I that I could be banished and become extinct, both soul and body, that I might not be brought to stand in the presence of my God to be judged of my deeds. And now for 3 days and for 3 nights was I racked, even with the pains of a damned soul. And it came to pass that I was thus racked with torment, while I was harrowed up by the memory of my many sins. Behold, I remembered also to have heard my father prophesy unto the people concerning the coming of one, Jesus Christ, a Son of God, to atone for the sins of the world. Now as my mind caught hold upon this thought, I cried within my heart, O Jesus, thou Son of God, have mercy on me, who art in the gall of bitterness and art encircled about by the everlasting chains of death. And now behold, when I thought this, I could remember my pains no more. Yea, I was harrowed up by the memory of my sins no more. And oh, what joy and what marvelous light I did behold. Yea, my soul was filled with joy as exceeding as was my pain. So I say unto you, my son, that there could be nothing so exquisite, so bitter as were my pains. Yea, and again I say unto you, my son, that on the other hand, there can be nothing so exquisite and sweet as was my joy. Yea, methought I saw, even as our father Lehi saw, God sitting on his throne, surrounded by numberless concourses of angels in the attitude of singing and praising their God. Yea, and my soul did long to be there. But behold, my limbs did receive their strength again, and I stood upon my feet, and I did manifest unto the people that I had been born of God. Yea, and from that time even until now I have labored without ceasing, that I might bring souls into repentance, that I might bring them to taste of the exceeding joy of which I did taste, and that they might also be born of God and be filled with the Holy Ghost. Him and three others of his friends, the sons of Mosiah, they went around. And as he said there, he tried to talk to people out of believing in the church of God, and finally, an angel came down and spared his life because of the prayers of the people, basically. But he had a choice to make right then. He could have said, gone about his way into destruction. But he didn't, because he'd had been taught something. He had that seed that had been planted. And even after everything that he had done, when he looked to Jesus Christ, he was forgiven. I don't know how far his speeches went to convince the people not to believe in God, but that doesn't really matter. He was doing that which was wrong. But yet when he saw the truth, that he knew that an angel had came to him, and the things that he remembered, and he knew they were sins, because he said that's what, he remembered all of them. It's kind of a strange thing now that I think about it, because when I was real serious about getting baptized, I was early 30s. I had a lot of baggage. You know, I, you know what? things were coming to my mind that I had done, that I asked forgiveness for from God, that I hadn't even thought of before in years. Things, I don't know how old I was old enough to know better, evidently, because they were coming back to my mind. And I thought at the time, boy, that's strange. I hadn't thought about that since it happened until now. But I thank God that he brought those things back to my memory that, you know, I could say, I can't straighten it out now, but, you know, I did ask forgiveness for those things. That's humbling. Very humbling. Things that I had put in a back closet that were still there festering somehow that I needed to, they needed to come out. And I was forgiven for them. And I think maybe that's what Amos is talking about here is, you know, the things that he was remembering that he had done it, and he was forgiven. And I think about Paul, you know, Paul, Saul, who became Paul. You know, I was kind of looking at what he had done a little bit today. And he was from a sect of the Pharisees that was strict. There probably wasn't any room for any gray area concerning the way they thought. And he persecuted Christians because in his mind, being a Pharisee, it was wrong some of the stuff they were doing. You know, this guy Jesus seemed like a rebel to the Pharisees because he was going against the traditions that they had set up. You know, his disciples were walking through the corn and eating stuff on the Sabbath day. You know, he was claiming to be God. And they were following after him. Because in some of the readings that he was putting Christians in prison, and then when they would come to be put to death, he was testifying against them. You know, I probably didn't even write down the chapter here, the scripture. Anyway, when Stephen was stoned, he held their coats. He held their garments while they threw rocks at him and stoned him and killed him. He was with them for what they did. He was on their side for stoning Stephen. And then on his way to Damascus, he was struck down and blinded. And he had a choice to make right then. You know, he consented to it. But look what he did after he was converted. When he was forgiven for all that stuff that he had done in the past. When he forged forward in the name of Jesus Christ. If not the greatest, he was one of the greatest. As far as going out and talking to people and changing their minds so that they would repent of their sins and that they would follow after this Jesus Christ whom he persecuted at first. Have any of you even come close to being forgiven of stuff like that? I haven't. I'm glad I haven't, but I'm thinking, you know, if those two guys can be forgiven, we can. And if Jesus can forgive and God can forgive at least those two guys for what they did, I ought to be able to forgive others for what they do against me. But that ain't, don't start coming and asking and doing things. You know, because it doesn't give you the, as Paul said, you know, just because we're justified in Jesus Christ, you know, it doesn't give us a license to go sin. Just because we'll be forgiven, you know, forgiven of it later. Matthew. Matthew 18, chapter 18. Through the scriptures and through the things that Jesus said, he gives us a glimpse of the way we should be and the way that God looks at us. Matthew 18, I'll start at verse 21. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? Till seven times? Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. Then he goes into a parable. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened to a certain king, which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. But forasmuch as he had not to pay, the Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife, and his children, and all that he had, and payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion, and loosed him and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants which owed him 100 pence. And he laid his hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, Pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, Have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when the fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry, and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after that he had called him, and said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt, because thou desirest me. Shouldst thou not have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth, and delivered him to the tormentors, till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if you from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. Have I been in his shoes like that? Have I needed forgiveness from somebody? And I really asked for it. And then when they said, you know, it doesn't have to be money, I forgive you, do I go, all right, I'm off the hook. And then I go do the same thing that he asked to do. Then I see somebody that asks for my forgiveness, and I don't give it to them. Or I don't give it to them from my heart. You know, it's kind of like when you're the little kid and you do something wrong, and your mom makes you go say you're sorry. I don't know about you, but I didn't have my heart in it. You know, I went and did it, but it was real grudgingly. It's got to come from our heart, or it doesn't mean anything, because God knows where our heart's at all times. You know, I think that's one of the reasons why some will say, Lord, Lord, look what we've done in your name. You know, we've healed people, we've cast out devils, we've done all this in your name. And he says, I never knew you. Depart from me. They were doing it for the wrong reasons. They didn't have their heart in it. They wanted glory in it, I suppose. And I'm not saying any of this is easy, because I know when I think about it, you know, I haven't really been done that bad to it. You know, I haven't been abused. I've had good parents. But still, though, there are those times where it's like, why should I forgive them for what they did? You know? You cussed out my daughter when she was a little girl and stuff. How am I going to forgive you for that? That's a true story. I think about that one. It's like, if I saw him on a street, would I drive on past if he needed help, or would I stop? I'd like to say I'd stop. You watch, tomorrow it'll happen. I'd like to think I would stop, but that was a long time ago, and that still festers in my head, so evidently I haven't forgiven him fully, at least from my heart. That is one I struggle with. Maybe you have stuff that you struggle with that you don't know what you do. You know, if there was somebody that really hurt you that you needed to forgive. The 6th chapter of Matthew. This is a part of the Sermon on the Mount that Jesus was giving. Matthew 6, and I'll start at verse 9. This is kind of an example that he was given as far as how to pray. Some people call it the Lord's Prayer. I think it's an example of how we should pray. The Lord's Prayer is in John. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And then the very next thing he says is, For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. To me, that's a scary thought. That if I don't forgive people their trespasses against me, I'm not going to be forgiven. So where does that leave me? Doesn't leave me in very good shape to be in heaven. It kind of destroys my hope that I have of being there someday because of Jesus Christ. So it's one of those things that everybody knows it, but putting it into practice, for me, it's not the easiest thing in the world because my flesh doesn't want to let it happen. And I haven't particularly been hurt like some have in the church for whatever reasons. You know, some of them I know of, some of them I don't, and I don't really care to. But that seems like that might be one of the hardest hurts of all is when it happens with your brothers and sisters. That it can't be settled like it says in the scriptures to where you need to go to that person one-on-one and talk to them about it. Don't go to somebody else and say, do you know what so-and-so did? Unless you want advice, maybe good advice, instead of it not being gossip. That's what it says. Go to them one-on-one. I've done that. I think I've gained a brother for whatever circumstance it was. Because that's what the scriptures say to do. And I'm not going to go on with the rest of it because I think it starts right there. And hopefully, if we're in the right state of mind, each and every one of us, it stops right there. You know, I don't know if you've, you know, this is an example of popped into my mind. I don't know if you realize it, but you offended me by whatever it might be. They might not even know they offended you. Funny thing sometimes is I get so worried about it that sometimes my conscience makes me feel like that I've done something, you know, said something to somebody that I may have offended them. So I call them up. They don't have any idea what I'm talking about. I think it's great. But still, I apologize for it. You know, I said this, you know, I'm sorry if it offended you and stuff. Most of the time when that happens, I haven't. But I feel like I have because my conscience is bugging me. So we've got the example that, all the example, there's more of them to it here in the scriptures. So what if your parent was a pedophile? What if it was your dad and your mother knew it was going on? And when you talked to her about it, she denied anything? And while you were growing up, your mom would also say, you weren't wanted as a child. True story. But you forgave your mom. She may not admit it. She didn't admit it, as far as I know yet, from what I've heard from talking to this individual. But she forgave her mom because she keeps going and taking care of her. And her mom didn't ask for forgiveness. I don't know. What could you do? What would you do? I mean, I'm bringing these things up because sometimes they're not always easy. Do y'all know who Corrie Ten Boom is? Corrie Ten Boom? Okay. Well, somebody had a frown. They probably didn't hear me well. So anyway, I got this offline. I wasn't going to bring the first one up, but I was told to. I was trying to look to see where it came from so I could tell you. Holocaust Victim Forgiveness Chapter Citation. Berkeley, 1978, page 53 through 55, if you know where that's at. Anyway, that's where I got it from. That's where I got it offline from. Anyway, Corrie Ten Boom, along with her sister and father, were sent to Ravensbrück as a Nazi concentration camp, and they did it because they were hiding Jews. They got caught. If anybody didn't know the story. Her father and her sister died there. But Corrie was released, it says here, due to a clerical error. And I'll just read some of this. Corrie Ten Boom likened forgiveness to letting go of a bell rope. If you've ever seen a country church with a bell in the steeple, you'll remember that to get the bell ringing, you have to tug a while. Once it has begun to ring, you merely maintain the momentum. As long as you keep pulling, the bell keeps ringing. Corrie Ten Boom says forgiveness is letting go of the rope. It's just that simple. But when you do so, the bell keeps ringing. Momentum's still at work. However, if you keep your hands off the rope, the bell will begin to slowly and eventually stop. It's like that with forgiveness when you decide to forgive. The old feelings of unforgiveness may continue to assert themselves. After all, they've had a lot of momentum, but if you affirm your decision to forgive, that unforgiving spirit will begin to slow and will eventually be still. Forgiveness is letting go of the rope of retribution. I wish something had happened to them for what they did to me. I think that's what she's saying here. Is let go of it. You get past the bitterness by refusing to hang on to it. Let go of the rope. Stop nursing the grudge. After the war, she returned to Germany to declare the grace of Christ. It was 1947. This is her words. It was 1947 and I'd come from Holland to defeated Germany with the message that God forgives. It was the truth they needed most to hear in that bitter, bombed out land, and gave them my favorite mental picture, maybe because the sea is never far from Hollanders' minds, I like to think, and that's where forgiveness of sins were thrown. When we confess our sins, I said, God cast them into the deepest ocean, gone forever. And even though I can't find a scripture for it, I believe God then places a sign out there that says, no fishing allowed. You can't go back and get it. Leave it at the bottom. The solemn faces stared back at me, not quite daring to believe. And that's when I saw him, working his way forward against the others. One moment I saw the overcoat and the brown hat, the next a blue uniform and a cap with skull and crossbones. It came back with a rush, the huge room with its harsh overhead lamps, the pathetic pile of dresses and shoes in the center of the floor, the shame of walking naked past this man. I could see my sister's frail form ahead of me, ribs sharp beneath the parchment skin. "Betsy, how thin you are." That place was Ravensbrook, and the man who was making his way forward had been a guard, one of the most cruel guards. Now he was in front of me, hand thrust out. "A fine message, Fraulein. How good it is to know that, as you say, all our sins are at the bottom of the sea." And I, who had been so glibly of, forgiveness, fumbled in my pocketbook rather than to take his hand. He would not remember me, of course. How could he remember one prisoner among thousands of women? But I remembered him. I was face to face with one of my captors, and my blood seemed to freeze. "You mentioned Ravensbrook in your talk," he was saying. "I was a guard there." No, he didn't remember me. "But since then," he went on, "I have become a Christian, and I know that God has forgiven me for the cruel things I did there. But I'd like to hear it from your own lips, Fraulein." Again, the hand came out. "Will you forgive me?" And I stood there. Eyes whose sins had again and again been forgiven and could not forgive. Betsy had died in that place. Could he erase her slow, terrible death simply by the asking? It could have been many seconds that he stood there, hand held out, but to me it seemed like hours as I wrestled with the most difficult thing I ever had to do. For I had to do it. I knew that. The message that God forgives has a prior condition that we forgive those who have injured us. "If you do not forgive men their trespasses," Jesus says, "neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses." And I still stood there with the coldness clutching my heart. But forgiveness is not an emotion. I knew that too. Forgiveness is an act of the will, and the will can function regardless of the temperature of the heart. "Jesus, help me," I prayed silently. "I can lift my hand. I can do that much. You supply the feeling." And so woodenly, mechanically, I thrust out my hand unto the one stretched out unto me. As I did, an incredible thing took place. The current started in my shoulder, raced down my arm, sprang into our joined hands. And then this healing warmth seemed to flood my whole being, bringing tears to my eyes. "I forgive you, brother," I cried, "with all my heart." For a long moment, we grasped each other's hands, the former guard and the former prisoner. I had never known God's love so intensely as I did then. But even then, I realized it was not my love. I had tried and did not have the power. It was the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, sometimes we have to take that first step in faith. I mean, Corrie ten Boom had probably heard and seen some of the atrocities that this guard had done. And there he was. She had a test to pass. And she struggled with it. We might struggle with it too. You know, I know I do. But yet it's one of those things that you know, if we really want to be forgiven, like it says and the promise is there, then we've got to be willing to also forgive people. You know, I'm not saying that you have to let them live with you. I'm not saying that you have to even let them be, you know, a constant part of your lives. And I'm not saying it's easy. Because as Corrie ten Boom, when she was faced with it, it wasn't easy for her. She says that. But she had to make that first step in faith before that current went down from her shoulder through her arm. You know, when I was baptized, I took that first step in faith, probably by going to study classes. When we were asked, I thought my wife, Lana, was going to faint. You know, but we started studying, and you know, we talked about what it says in the scriptures that, you know, if you go into the right way, and you'll be cleansed with fire and receive the Holy Ghost, you'll receive a remission of your sins. I was worried about that. Because it's faith that you take that step of obedience to go down into the water. So I expressed in one class my worry about receiving the Holy Ghost and being cleansed by fire. It was the simplest answer a sister gave, you know, well, pray about it. I did, diligently. I didn't get an answer until after I went down into the water and came up out of the water, had went and changed clothes, and came back out to have hands laid on my wife and I for reception of the Holy Ghost. Nothing happened until I took that step and did what I was supposed to do in obedience. Kind of like Corrie Ten Boom. She had to stick that hand out there. She had to take that step of faith. And I remember that when they prayed over me, that heat started in my head where their hands were and went down to my shoulders and out my arms, on down through my torso, down through my legs to my feet. And it was real, and I could feel it. So just remember, the promises that are in the scriptures are true. You've got to believe it, and you've got to take a lot of it on faith. And we have to forgive each other. Thank you.